Luke chapter 2. Behold, remember we've been talking about this. In fact, this ends the series because Friday night will be a special message regarding Jesus' birth as we light the final candle of Christ. So we'll be specifically talking about him. Actually, the passage is there in 21 verses, 21 and following out of chapter 2. Behold, it means to grab, to look. Look is another way to say it. You see the commentators on TV say that a lot. You know, they'll be talking about something and they'll say, look. I'm not sure what they're thinking. But they say, look. Well, what do you mean, look? Look at what? It's a figure of speech. But in the scripture, it's something quite different. It means to behold, to see with understanding. Behold. And so when the angel speaks here, he said exactly that. In verse 13, suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others and the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. And that's the scripture that I've said repeatedly and over and over and over. And I think we as a people of God must not forget that passage. And in fact, I think it's the most important passage in the entire narrative itself. That's what I feel. Because that scripture speaks to exactly what God's divine purpose was in sending Christ. We think somehow that God is in heaven waiting to judge. And he is for those that don't know him. But for the church, those who are his people, who have been called according to his purpose, he said, glory to God in the highest, the angel, and peace on earth, peace. Isn't it interesting how Jesus said, I've came to bring a sword? But that was within the household. Unless you hate your father, hate your mother, hate your sister, hate your brother, and even hate yourself, you can't be my disciple. That was what the sword was. But when he came, Jesus' birth, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. In other words, it pleased God to send you the Messiah. It pleased God to send you Jesus. And it pleased Jesus to come. You have divine favor. Have you ever thought of that? And people, you know, they, I don't know what I should do. It's God's will. And get to work. Aren't you his child? Aren't you his son or daughter? Doesn't he have a calling on your life? North and south. Romans 8:28, God causes all things together to work for good for those who love God and are what? Called according to his purpose. Get to work. Stop asking. Analysis. Paralysis by analysis. Stop analyzing and get on with it. Should I go here? Yes. Should I go there? Yes. Should I go there? Yes. Get going. No matter what you do in faith, God's going to bless you. Have you thought of that? Peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. And joy. And so at the birth of Jesus and the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy from chapter 7 of Isaiah, the first outsiders to be told the good news are the shepherds. Now, I've heard a lot of preachers over the years, and none of them ever focus on this. So that's why I continuously focus on it year after year. Why would God announce himself to the scum of society? Now, that's being a little harsh, but it illustrates the point. The shepherds were the lowliest in the culture, in the society. They were the poor, the ones that today we would call marginalized, the ones who we would say didn't matter, didn't count, the ones that are always hungry, bordering on poverty. Those were the shepherds. But yet they still had the flock. They still had food. They still had a place to stay. But why did God choose to announce his coming to the shepherds? This is the King of Israel, the Lord of Lords. How come it wasn't announced in this royal coronation, this tremendous ceremony when everyone shows up? And there'll be parades and ticker tapes and the headlines saying, and the Messiah's here. And Starbucks is full. And CNN is saying, I can't believe it. It's real. No, that's not what happened at all. In fact, it was the most insignificant, meaningless, marginalized, poor, beggar, blind. Remember we read that last week? That's who he chose to announce himself to. Remember the wretched, poor, blind, weak person that we are? We talked about that last week. That's who God announced himself to. Because they were the only ones that would actually see, and they were the ones that needed him. Most people today think they don't need God. The culture as a whole believes they don't need God at all. Remember last week we talked about their money. Money's delivered them from all the problems that are in the world. Nothing wrong with money, and there's nothing wrong being wealthy. In fact, wealth is a sign of abundance because of good job, hard work. God blesses that. But when we start to rely on our money, now we have a real problem. And it's interesting to note that from King David forward, the kings of Israel were considered shepherds of God's people. Have you thought about that? The king was supposed to be the shepherd. The caretaker. And so God announces his coming. Because the leaders at the time, the Romans, they were no shepherds. How many times were they put in bondage by the Egyptians? And now by the Romans. And so God used him some shepherds. Not only shepherds that were in the field, but shepherds who weren't even Jews. How ironic. So in first century Palestine, shepherds were among the lowest in society. In 25:40, it says, the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. So that's how God views the poor, the weak, the ones that are insignificant in society and in culture, the marginalized. This is how God views those people. But he also views people that are like this who are spiritually in need. Blind, poor, wretched, begging sinners. All of us. And God loved you. He proved it by sending his son. That's the proof. And the guarantee of eternal life is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes residence in you. The temple is no longer needed. The most holy place is you. So don't defile it. Don't tear it up. God needs you. He needs me. I mean, God doesn't need anyone, but you know what I'm saying. We have a mission. We have a purpose and a plan. And my charge to you, and has been since we started this church, is to get on with it. Get to work. And what the shepherds are commanded to behold is the birth of a Savior who will bring not just joy, charis, but mega joy. Megalon. That word is there in the passage. Mega joy. I mean, we've had joy. You've had joy in your life, haven't you? I hope so. But have you ever had mega joy? Mega joy. Wow, like times two? Yeah, a lot more than that. So the shepherds are commanded essentially to have mega joy. Don't be afraid, the angel said in verse 10. I bring you good news that will bring great joy, mega joy to all people. Why didn't you say mega joy, man? Well, I guess that would have been like saying mega joy today, right? Back then. Today be like, man, that's awesome. That's mega joy. Or how would we say it today? How would they put that on TikTok, guys? Yeah, or whatever it is. I'm socially inept. I get it. Amen. Mega joy. That's what we're supposed to have when we consider Christmas. And that's part of the reason we exchange gifts. And there'll be those that take a heart, you pagans, you're the ones that ruining Christmas with these pagan traditions. Calm down, big shooter. It's about exchanging a gift. Jesus came as a gift to us from God. Relax. You should exchange a gift. And that's where the tradition came from. Pagan traditions. Okay, then we conformed it to Christ. How about that? Huh? That's what we're supposed to do. Are we supposed to conform the culture to Christ? So why don't we just say what is? Okay, even if it was a pagan tradition, now it's been Christianized because Jesus was a gift from God. I had a little coffee this morning, I have to admit. In Luke 2:10, it says, but the angel reassured them, don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news to great joy and great joy to all people. Of course. The shepherds are not only meant to lay eyes or behold, look and see with understanding on this baby Jesus, but to understand that he is indeed the Messiah. And that's the importance of why Jesus came in a manger. He came to be the Messiah. He came to reconcile us to God, to break down the enmity, to stop the insurrection of the heart, if you will. He meant to bring peace and joy. That was the entire point. He is the Messiah, the Savior of Israel. Now, there's one last thing that I want to note, and that is in chapter 2, in verse 18, all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. And I hope that you would choose to be like Mary. that you think about Jesus' coming and him being the Messiah often. That you'd ponder these things in your heart. That you'd find joy and peace by pondering them. But also mega joy and mega motivation. Mucho motivation. I don't know how to say it in Russian, otherwise I would. Much, great, mega. Any other words for mega? Any? Huh? Humongous. Greatest. Ultimate. Yes, he is. He surely is. That so we would behold the statements that we've been making about Christ. That we would look, we would behold those statements, that we would see God, we would see Jesus, understanding who he is. That he's motivated by his love for us. We are reminded of that again in those passages that everyone knows. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's not hard to consider the motivation that God had toward us. He knew that the law could not bring us back to God. In fact, the law showed us our greatest need for a Savior. We can't ever be good enough. We won't measure up. We need unmerited favor. We must have unmerited favor. If there's any way that we can earn our salvation, it's impossible. Utterly impossible. We will fail. Israel proved it. And so in 14 it said, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth whom God has pleased. And that's the major point of this morning. That God is pleased with us. And I hope that you would choose to take all these things and ponder them in your heart and think about them often. In fact, if I were you, I don't think I did this every Christmas, did I, Darcy? But I did a lot of them where I pulled out the narrative on Christmas morning as we were opening presents. Just about. And I will this year too, because now the kids are grown. Need to remind them of why we're here. And I hope that you would think about these things in your heart and that you would think about them often. Worship team, would you come?